Jai Radama Bhava Kunja Bihari
The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 9th Chapter, Text Number 25, given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami, recorded on 29th July of 1982 in New Delhi, India.
Gopi Jana Balabha Yuvaradhari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 9, Text 25
Yudhishthirastadakarnya Shayanam Shara Panjare Aprachat Vividham Dharman Rishinam Chinashanvatan
Translation Śrīyuta Goswami said, Mahārāj Yudhishthira, after hearing Bhishma Dev, speak in the appealing tone, asked him in the presence of all the great rishis about the essential principles of various religious duties, responsibly, purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bhishma Dev speaking in that appealing tone convinced Mahārāja Yudhishthira that he was very soon passing away. And Mahārāja Yudhishthira was inspired by Lord Sri Krishna to ask him of the principles of religion. Lord Sri Krishna inspired Mahārāja Yudhishthira to ask Bhishma Dev in the presence of many great sages, indicating thereby that the Lord's devotee like Bhishma Dev, although apparently lying as a worldly man, is far superior to many great sages, even Vyasadeva. Another point is that Bhishma Dev, at that time, was not only lying on the deathbed of arrows, but was greatly aggrieved because of that state. One should not have asked him any questions at that time, but Lord Sri Krishna wanted to prove that his pure devotees are always sound in body and mind by dint of spiritual enlightenment. And thus, in any circumstances, a devotee of the Lord is in perfect order to speak of the right way of life. Yudhishthira also preferred to solve his problematic questions by asking Bhishma Dev rather than ask anyone else present there who was seemingly more learned than Bhishma Dev. This is all due to the arrangement of the great wheel carrier, Lord Sri Krishna, who establishes the glories of his devotee. The father likes to see the son become more famous than himself. The Lord declares very emphatically that worship of his devotee is more valuable than the worship of the Lord himself. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalan Shri Guru Vaishnavanascha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakatam Shri Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Jadvaita Gadadha Shiva Shri Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yudhishthira stat akarnya, shayanam shara panjare, apachal vividhan dharman, vishinam chanushan vatam. So, there are a few significant points in this verse. First of all is, the question or the information that Mahārāja Yudhishthira desires. He wants to know what are the essential principles of religion. And he's posing this question, regarding the essential principles of religion, not to some ordinary personality. He is posing this question to Bhishma Dev, who is one of the 12 spiritual authorities. This is explained by Yamraj in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that there are 12 Mahajans. Mahajan means one who is a spiritual authority, and Bhishma Dev is one of them. The other Mahajans are Brahma, Narada, Shiva, Kumara, Kapila, Muni, Prahlad, Janaka, Shukadev, Bali Maharaj, and Yamraj himself. So these are confirmed by Yamraj to be the 12 great Mahajans or spiritual authority. So this question as to what are the principles of religious life is being posed to the most elevated of all, Bhishma Dev. And Bhishma Dev Dao, he's lying on this deathbed. He still, as explained in the purport, has complete control over his body and mind. Rupa Goswami also states that a devotee of the Lord who is using his body, mind and senses, Dao, he's performing his activities like that of an ordinary man, but it is to be considered that such an individual is liberated. So with real vision, Bhishma Dev was lying on this deathbed of arrows, but still he had everything in control. His body was sound, and he was still thinking of enlightening the audience present before him about the principles of spiritual life. We can see a comparison of this situation to Srila Prabhupada's situation in the last few months of his existence on this planet, as it was confirmed by Thaviraj, who was treating Prabhupada, that Prabhupada for the last few months, his body was literally burning. And the Thaviraj could not understand how Prabhupada was able to tolerate so much heat in his body and not complain about it. So this is similar to Bhishma Dev lying on the deathbed of arrows, because Prabhupada also, even though he was in such great pain, even though he was feeling this heat, he never complained, but rather he was always enlightening his disciples about the principles of spiritual life. Till his very last day, he was actually enlightening everyone around him about how they should execute, how the disciples should carry on the Krishna conscious movement, how we should go around traveling and defeating these scientists and prove to them how God exists. So Prabhupada also exhibited the same type of symptoms that Bhishma Dev over here is exhibiting. Just like Bhishma Dev on the deathbed of arrows was asked questions by Yudhishthira Maharaj, Prabhupada was also asked questions by his senior disciples as to how they should carry on the Krishna conscious movement after his departure, and he was always instructing everyone who came to him, even when he was inconvenienced, even when his body gave him a little trouble, he never stopped his preaching activity. So we can see Bhishma Dev also doing the same thing. Bhishma Dev is on this deathbed of arrows, but he's not stopping his preaching activity. He's still preaching. He's still preaching to Yudhishthira Maharaj and the others about the principles of religion, which will follow from the next verse onwards. So that is one of the qualities of a devotee. The devotee is always anxious to preach. He's always anxious to broadcast the glories of the Lord, because he knows that the materialist or any individual without science of God cannot really be happy. This is one understanding that a devotee has for sure. There is absolutely no doubt in the devotee's mind that independent of Krishna, there can never be any happiness. Just like a fish out of water can never be happy even for a minute. Even if the fish is placed in a golden plate or in an air-conditioned room, but if the fish is out of water, the fish cannot be happy. So the devotee, what's the meaning of a devotee? Devotee doesn't mean one who just puts on the saffron robe or he shaves his hair. No, Devotee means one who has complete faith in the instructions of the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord, who has complete faith in the instruction of the Supreme Lord that without surrendering to him, the living entity cannot be happy. So the devotee, he doesn't concern himself. He's not concerned about his own welfare. He's not concerned about his own comfort. But rather, his prime concern is to have the opportunity to distribute the Lord's mercy, the Lord's message. The Lord's message actually is the Lord's mercy, because actually there's no reason why the Lord should be interested in broadcasting his message. But because the Lord is our ever well-wisher, because the Lord loves us, therefore he is giving us his message. So even though we are rebelling, some or the other we may have a change of heart. Krishna Bhuli said, Jiva Nadir Bahir Mukha Ateva Maya Tare Deha Samsara Dukha. The living entity, because he has forgotten Krishna, he is experiencing nothing but misery. This is confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also. So the devotee has this understanding that the living entity, because he has forgotten Krishna, he is experiencing nothing but misery. Those who are hypocrites may not want to admit it, but if somebody probes into his heart carefully, he will see that yes, it's a fact. There's actually no happiness in the material world. Just like last night, we were talking to a very top government official family in Chandigarh, very, very top. And they were telling us that they have now told their son, who's studying law in Delhi, that he can even become a devotee, because even if he becomes a millionaire, he's still going to be miserable. So that is the correct realization, that no material achievement can satisfy the soul. The only activity that can satisfy the soul is a spiritual activity. So the devotee of the Lord is very anxious that some or the other, that this message be broadcasted. Just like Srila Prabhupada in his last 2 months on this planet, he was so sick that he could not even hold the Bhagavatam. But he still translated this 10th canto, part 3. And this was translated under the most difficult circumstances. For example, Prabhupada had one of his assistants hold up his back. He had another assistant hold the mic next to him. He had another assistant read out the Sanskrit. So he had different assistants holding different parts that was necessary for him to do this translation. If he wanted, he could very easily have rested. The doctors were always telling him to rest. His assistants were always telling him to rest. But he wasn't concerned about his own rest. He was concerned about leaving behind as much as he could, so that future generations could attain salvation, they could perfect their lives. Because as Prabhupada said, these books will be read for the next 10,000 years. And he even said that one day these books will become the law books of the nation. We may find this hard to believe, but he's down on record as having said that these books will one day become the law books. These books, he said, will guide the nations one day. And in fact, in Chandigarh, a high court judge passed a judgment on the murder case, and his whole judgment was based upon Prabhupada's purport in the Bhagavad Gita. And he quoted Prabhupada's purport from the Gita to cite evidence in view of the judgment that he made. That is just one small example. Since Prabhupada has predicted that these books will one day become the law, of the nation, we have to have faith that one day that this will happen. So the point is that the devotee of the Lord, he's in the mood of sacrificing everything for the benefit of society. This was most beautifully exemplified in the case of Maharaj Rantideva. Maharaj Rantideva was a very powerful king. He and his family members had fasted for 48 days. And they were about to break their fast with some foodstuff made of milk and sugar. When they were approached by poor Brahmana, Mlecha, Chandala, and gradually everything that he had was taken away. He was just left with a little bit of water with which he was about to break his fast. And then a thirsty man ran into his palace saying, "My king, I'm very thirsty, can you have some water?" And in the end, Maharaj Grantideva parted with that little foodstuff that he had made of milk and sugar, and he also had to part with the water that he had. And after he had parted with everything that he had, and he had fasted, not for 1 or 2 days, for 48 days, he offered a very beautiful prayer to the Lord. This prayer can be offered by every devotee. He said, "Na kamai ham gatim ishrat param, astadi yuktam apunar bhavam va." He says, "My dear Lord, I have no desire to ask you for anything for myself. Kamai. I do not want anything for myself, and nor do I want perfection in the 8 mystic paths. There are 8 different types of mystic siddhis. Lagima, Maga, Prapti. You can become smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest. You can be sitting in one place and stretch your hand, even as far as the moon." He said, "I do not want perfection in these 8 mystic siddhis. But rather, anta-sthita-yena bhavanti-adukha. Rather, I want to stay on in this material planet till all these people who are unhappy become happy. Till the dukkha become adukha. Till those who are actually miserable become free of misery." And Prahlad Maharaj also has expressed a similar sentiment in the 6th canto of the Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj says, "Naivod vijay paraduratya vaitaranyas." He says that, "My dear Lord, there's a river known as the Vaitarani River, which is the river that divides the material world from the spiritual world." So Prahlad Maharaj says, "My dear Lord, I on my own have no problem in crossing over that Vaitarani River. I can cross over it very easily. But when I so chetatu vimukha, but when I think about these conditioned souls who are just trying to forget you, then I began to lament. As long as I'm not thinking about them, I'm okay. But when I think about them, then I begin to feel sorry. Because maya sukhayam param udvato vimuram. Because these conditioned souls are trying to convert a miserable position into a position of happiness. They're trying to convert a diseased condition into a position of healthy life. And when I look at this situation, I lament very, very much. In fact, the lamentation is there, not only amongst the devotees of the Lord, but the lamentation is also there in the case of the Supreme Lord. And this was very beautifully illustrated in the meeting between Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met Haridas Thakur, he said, "Go Brahmana Hinsa Kari Mahadurakara." He said, "Haridas, looking at the condition of these Yavanas, I'm feeling very, very sorry. Because these Yavanas, they have no respect for the Brahmanas. They have no respect for the Vedic literature. They have no respect for the cows. So my heart is bleeding. What should I do?" And then Haridas, understanding the concern of the Lord, said, "My dear Lord, please do not worry. Prabhu chintana karya." He said, "My dear Lord, please do not worry. These Yamnas will be saved. Haram haram bali kahe nama baase. These Yavanas will be saved by being made to take the names of Rama." So the point is that we have to learn to only accept those points that are essential for taking one closer to Krishna. Another thing that comes out clearly in this verse is that the principles of religion can only be enunciated by the Lord and His bona fide spiritual authorities. This is one knowledge that is lacking in society today as to what are the principles of religion. We are scared about turning to the real authorities for religion. In the name of religion, irreligion is being executed. In the name of dharma, earth dharma is predominant in society. And as confirmed by Rupa Goswami, Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Adi, Pancharatra, Vidim, Vinay, Kantari, Hare, Bhakti, Rit, Pata, Eva, Kalpate. That religion that is not based upon the principles of the Lord is simply a disturbance in society. So that is the position of society today. People are following religious principles, but they claim to be following religious principles, but they're not real religious principles because it is not based upon Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Adi. And anything that is not based upon this is simply a disturbance to society. Just like you can see, even in Punjab, we were in Amritsar, and there's a big fight going on there. Well, it may not be very open, but at least at a subtle level, between the Sikhs and the Hindus. But none of them are actually presenting their argument on the principles Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Adi. For example, the Sikhs are saying, give up smoking in Amritsar. They don't want any cigarette shops. So the Hindus are saying, okay, we'll close our cigarette shops, but you have to close your meat shops. I mean, how can one argue, close all the cigarette shops and have all the meat shops open? I was surprised to see in Amritsar, in every corner, there's a chicken selling meat or chicken. It's so horrible. But they're talking about this argument, stop smoking, is being presented on the basis of religion. But this is not religion. What about the other principles? No meat eating. That they don't want to talk. So this is what they're finding. The Hindus are saying, okay, you give up, close your meat shops, and then we will close our cigarette shops. And what about the other sinful activities? Gambling, liquor. If we want to follow religion, we should follow all the religious principles. Just like the Christians, they very proudly claim they're following 9 out of the 10 commandments. They claim. And the only one they dispute is thou shalt not kill, and that too they've given their own interpretation. But that is not religion. Religion is not something that anybody can interpret. For example, there have been so many thousands of versions of the Bible, and the latest version of the Bible that has created a sensation in the West is a version brought out by the Reader's Digest. Now, what special spiritual training do the editors of the Reader's Digest magazine have in bringing out an edition of the Bible? Just because Reader's Digest is a very famous magazine, it doesn't qualify the editors to bring out a new version of the Bible. Amoga, do you know that? But the Reader's, that's the latest edition of the Bible in America, brought out by the editors of the Reader's Digest. And this has created such a controversy because the editors of the Reader's Digest have interpreted and changed many words under the pretext of making it easily understood by the masses. So this is not religion. Religion means the words of God. Religion means the words of God that are coming down through disciplic succession. Just like in Iran, under the name of Allah, so many thousands and thousands of people have been killed. In fact, what's that, Baha'i faith? Baha'i? In almost all the followers of the Baha'i faith have been executed in Iran, have been killed. All in the name of religion. Is this religion that says go ahead and kill all these people? So the tragedy of the society is that because these religious principles are not based upon Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Adi, it is simply creating a disturbance of society, and it is simply compounding the problem. The people, instead of becoming God-conscious, they are actually becoming more and more demonic, and they are taking shelter of the religion. Under the name of religion, murders are being committed. Under the name of religion, so many crimes are being committed, and everyone is passing on as a very saintly person. This is the characteristic of the age of Kali. In the age of Kali, those who are irreligious will some or the other acquire power, and they will pretend to be very religious. Just like, I remember, there used to be a very famous politician in India who always used to put on a tilak, and everyone used to say he's such a great saint, but he was the most corrupt of all of them. So I'm saying, in the name of religion, even those who are irreligious are being recognized or worshipped to be very saintly people. So the principles of religion can only be understood from the Mahajans. So if one is serious about religious life, one is serious about inquiring about spiritual principles, then he must turn to the 12 Mahajans or those who are coming in their disciplic succession. Only then the real principles of religion can be understood. And anything that is outside the Vedic literature, that is simply a disturbance in to society. So to summarize, Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking the principles of religion for Bhishmadev, who thou on a deathbed of arrows has confirmed the point that a devotee of the Lord is always in sound mind, because the Lord never leaves his devotee alone. Kaunteya prati jani na me bhakta pranashati. My devotee will never perish. So thou, the devotee of the Lord, may appear to be in pain. Actually, he's not in pain. Why? Because he's completely situated in thoughts of meditation on the Supreme Lord. As the Upadeshamrita confirms, it is an offense to view the body of a great spiritual authority with one's material vision. The qualification of a spiritual authority is completely absorbed in meditating on the Lord. And because he's absorbed in meditating on the Lord completely, the Lord also reciprocates by keeping his mind in a sound condition. And Bhishmadev is, even in this critical, painful condition, in complete control over his body and son, and is able to impart the religious principles to Yudhishthira Maharaj, just like Srila Prabhupada, who was in very critical condition, was able to impart spiritual instructions to his disciples. Hare Krishna.